I'll be reading from Exodus 12. On that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn, both men and animals. And I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. This is a day you are to commemorate, for the generations to come shall celebrate it as a festival for the Lord, a lasting ordinance.
Good morning. Good to have you with us. For those of you who are visiting, we're certainly proud that you're with us today. Looks like a little too much fall party got some of our folks. A little too much bobbing for apples. I have never seen anybody bob for apples and have wet socks. Now, that's how wet they got. Now, I don't know how it occurred. You just had to be there to see it, but they had a good time. So we did have a great time last night. It was a little warmer than it normally is for our fall party, so that was nice. Enjoyed that a great deal. We'll continue to talk about Passover today. I want to talk about, for a moment, a little bit about the significance of Passover in history. Just a couple of events that, one, you're probably familiar with. One, you may not be as familiar with when Passover was celebrated and the significant events. But they all certainly play in then to the significance of Passover in the first century and certainly in the life of Christ. And then I want to talk about the string on our finger. Remember last week we talked about the string on our finger? We're going to talk about the string on our finger and kind of conclude this morning. Won't talk a great long time about it, but I think it's of extreme significance. So that's our plan for the morning. But remember, Passover occurs. It is a celebration of Israel's deliverance from slavery and bondage. It is a celebration, a commemoration, a recognition of Israel's deliverance from slavery and bondage. Specifically, in its origination, their deliverance from Egypt. When the Lord passed over and the firstborn of the animals and of the people in the land of Egypt died, except for those who were in houses that had the blood of the Lamb over the doorpost. And they celebrated the Passover. They ate the lamb and the bitter herbs. And they did that dressed, standing, prepared for deliverance. And death then of the firstborn comes into Egypt. And then Israel is sent out of Egypt toward the land of promise, which they would have gone to except for the lack of faith on the part of their men. It's interesting. It's sad. It's not uncommon. We see it repeatedly in the pages of the Old Testament, that they see these plagues that come over this great power of Egypt. And it's interesting, as Passover is celebrated, even back in Exodus, it is a significance not only over the people of Egypt, but over their gods. God makes that very clear. Judgment is coming on Egypt and their gods. So Israel has seen God's power over the false gods of Egypt and over the Egyptian people, who are pretty sophisticated, extremely sophisticated for their time, in architecture, in government, in power, and God delivers them. And then when it seems like they're in terrible trouble at the Red Sea, God delivers them there and parts the waters of the Red Sea where they cross over on dry ground. Remember all of that? They've seen all of that, and now they move across the desert to the land of Canaan that God had promised to Abraham, the land that he had promised to Israel. And when they go in, instead of thinking about all that God had done for them, what do they see? Nothing but obstacles. The cities are strong. The people are giants. Even the land itself is overwhelmed. That's the report. Remember that? It's almost like even if there were no people and no fortified cities there, the land itself would eat us up. They were afraid. And so they wander in the wilderness for 40 years. And in that time, all of the military-aged men who leave Egypt, except for Joshua and Caleb, die in the desert. So as they now come 40 years later to come into the land of promise, the land of Canaan, all of those men of military age that had left Egypt have died. And so they cross the Jordan and they come to a place called Gilgal. And at Gilgal, Joshua now has taken over. Moses is gone. Moses has died. Joshua takes over, and as they come into the land, all of the men now are circumcised, which was a symbol of the covenant. They had not circumcised in the desert. All right? So all of these men that had been born in their wilderness wanderings were uncircumcised, and so all of Israel is circumcised. And guess what feast they celebrate? It is the Passover. They celebrate the Passover. And something significant happens the day after the celebration of the Passover. The manna stops, and they begin to eat from the fruit of the land of Canaan. So Passover is instituted as they are delivered from Egypt. And now as they come into the land of promise, this land of Canaan that God had given them, it is at the celebration of the Passover that they cross in, they cross over into this land, and now they begin their conquest with God's leadership, God's deliverance into the land of promise. So we've got Passover delivering us from Egypt. We've got Passover as we come into this land of promise and begin to reap the promises of God that were made centuries before to Abraham. And now they are seeing the fulfillment. They're actually eating from the bounty of the land that flows with milk and honey. Now, we come centuries further toward us, and we have Jesus, the Messiah, who comes into Jerusalem at the Passover, and what's going to happen? Jesus is going to be crucified in the time of the Passover. As John the Baptizer would say here, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away sins of the world." For those of you who have been reading along with us in our Bible reading, that was part of this week's reading, was John's comment about Jesus. But Jesus then goes to the cross as Israel is celebrating Passover, which is then our deliverance again from bondage and death, from sin, right? Jesus dies as the payment for sin and delivers us from the consequences of sin and ushers us in to this new era of being Christians, a new era of the kingdom. The kingdom is at hand. The kingdom of God, the church begins with the death of Jesus. We're under a new covenant. We're under a new testament, if you will. And it all occurs at the Passover. So don't lose that significance. We could spend weeks on that. We're not going to. But the significance of Passover, not only is Jesus as the Lamb, but this deliverance from bondage, this deliverance from slavery. We have been delivered from slavery of sin into the freedom that comes with Christ, and that occurs at Passover. Now, we'll talk about the string on our finger, a remembrance. Because all the way back to Exodus, not only are we going to celebrate this Passover as it occurs in Egypt, but this is going to be a lasting memorial, a lasting commemoration to remember what God has done. It is a reminder of God and His power. I appreciate Steve's prayer this morning as he talks about us coming to worship, that we give God the praise and adoration that He deserves. And that's really what the observance of Passover should be. And when we take the Lord's Supper, it is a remembrance and a reminder, and it brings us back into focus about how great and powerful and loving and benevolent and good our God is. That our God is kind but just. Our God is loving and faithful. And so the Passover was not just about the good that had come to Israel, and it was, and it is. And it's not just about the good that has come to us through Jesus, because we certainly benefit in enormous ways, right? But I'd like for us to think about it for just a moment in a little different way. It is about remembering and celebrating and being thankful to the God who provides that deliverance and those blessings. What's easy for us to do? It's easy for everything to kind of focus on me and how it affects me. And I don't think I'm alone in that. I think that's where most of us are. If we read something, I don't care whether it's a biblical text or a newspaper article or a magazine article, most of us look at it from different perspectives based on our experiences. And most of the time we filter through it about how does this impact me. I'm not thinking that's the bad thing. I just think it is the thing. I have people all the time, and y'all know my accountant who's been with us many times in the past as speaker. And not only is my accountant my friend, he's been doing my taxes now for almost 30 years. But my accountant runs his own business, farms, and preaches. So I said, anything in the tax code that benefits him probably benefits me, and the folks who don't do that aren't paying that much attention. So don't ever tell him. I think he's a sharp guy, but it's not necessarily sharp. I just know that when he's looking at things about taxes that affect him, I'm probably going to benefit from them. So he doesn't have to do something special. He's just doing what he comes naturally. That's just the way it works for all of us, isn't it? If it impacts us, we take special note of it. And that's not necessarily a bad thing at all. It's just the way that it is. But what I want us to think about today as we take the Lord's Supper in a moment is we think about Passover. That we think about not only the blessings that we have received, but that we are mindful of the God who has blessed us. Because it's easy for it to come about us and only about the blessings and not the blesser. What we are given and not the giver. It's easy in our assemblies when we come to be of sincere hearts. And this is a lot of what we do, and it's appropriate. Well, what should I do? How should I act? How does this affect me? How should this change my life? And that's part of our teaching. It should be. How are our lives impacted? But I want us this morning, and hopefully as a reminder in the days ahead, to think about, I need to be honoring God and thankful to Him because He has delivered me. He has delivered us. He is the giver of all of our blessings. And I don't want to just be about doing the right thing, although that's important. I don't want to be just about being the right person. That's important. I don't want to just be only about my salvation, which is extremely important. But I want to be a person who honors God. That when I come to the assembly, not only do I learn how to apply the Scripture to my life, but that I actually worship God. That I actually pause to give Him praise and to give Him thanks. That as I go through life, I'm thankful to God and who He is. Because why should Israel have known they could take the land of promise? Why should they have known that? Because they have no military experience. Is that not right? They have been slaves for 400 years in Egypt. They've not had a military. They've not been defending themselves. They've not been fighting. So having military experience was not what should have tipped them off to their ability to take the land of promise. They just saw God deliver them from the Egyptians. From the stablest power, the largest power of their time in their area, and God delivers them. And what had they done? Nothing. Nothing. God had delivered them. God had brought them out. God had parted the waters for them. God had brought about these plagues on the Egyptians and had delivered Israel. And they should have known. They should have recognized. They should have seen that it was God who was caring for them. It was God who was fulfilling the promises that He had made and that God would continue. But they became afraid because they began to look at what? Only themselves. And what they could do. Who has delivered us from the bondage and the dread of sin and death? It is God through His Son Jesus, right? What can you and I do? Take Jesus out of the equation? What avenue is there for us? There isn't one. The Scripture is clear. We are saved by grace through faith. This not of works, lest any man should boast. You and I are not going to earn that. We're not going to live a life in such a way as to merit forgiveness of sins. Now, I'm not saying God doesn't call us to live holy lives. He does. That's scriptural. But I'm telling you, you and I are not going to live in such a way as to balance the scales or to certainly to tip the scales of justice in our favor. The wages of sin is death. And God, through His Son, paid that price for us. He overcame death and sin and Satan for us. And He calls us then to be people of faith and to walk in the light, John would tell us, how John would describe it, to walk in the light. Israel did take the land of promise and could have 40 years earlier if they had just been faithful, if they had just followed God. But they lost sight. And so as we think about Passover and as we take the Lord's Supper, as we think about God, as we face the challenges of life, physically, emotionally, spiritually, where does our victory come from? It comes from God. It comes from God. God is the one who watches out and cares for us and has provided a way and continues to bless us and protect us. So as Israel celebrated Passover, as we think about Passover and as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, think about what did God do for us? And are we thankful to Him? And does it call us back to the reality that we are His children, that God is our Lord, our Shepherd, who provides for us, protects us, leads us, and delivers us. And that we listen to His voice and walk in His path, and God provides for us. That's what Passover was about. Was not only the freedom from bondage, but it was the recognition from whence it came. Jesus died at the feast of the Passover. He became the Lamb. It is His blood painted on the doorpost of our hearts that saves us from death, that cleanses us from unrighteousness. It is God who gave His firstborn. It is the death of the firstborn on the cross that saves us, that delivers us from the bondage of sin. It was the gift God gave of the perfect sacrifice from heaven for us. So as Israel celebrated Passover, their deliverance from Egypt, they're coming into the land of promise. As we celebrate, as we take the Lord's Supper, we remember the sacrifice made for us on the cross through Jesus. And what it does for us, the deliverance from sin, But I hope it makes us stop for a moment and be thankful to God who so loved the world that He gave His Son, for God who provided a way for us, who brought deliverance, who provided the Lamb. That's what Abraham recognized and prophesied about as he was going to offer Isaac. Remember? He said what? When asked, where is the sacrifice? The Lord will provide. God has provided the sacrifice. God does bless us. God does care for us. God delivers us. So as we celebrate, let's be sure to give praise and honor to God who deserves it so richly. If you need to respond, do that as we stand and sing.